We call the meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It's being held Thursday, January 28th, 2016, starting at 8:30 in the morning. It's being held in the commission hearing room 1025, located at 210 North, 1950 West, Salt Lake City, Utah. First item on the agenda today is to ask if there is public comment from individuals or groups wishing to address the commissioners for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to pending or recently imminent appeals to the tax commission. Do we have anyone who is interested in addressing the commission today? I see none. Next item on the agenda is the consideration of approving commissioners' minutes from our meeting on Thursday, December 10th, 2015. Do we have a motion?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Okay, I recognize Commissioner Cragen for that motion. Move to approve the minutes. Any debate on the motion? Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Well, it passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is normally going to be a training, but we're going to change the order on the agenda. And we're going to go instead to consideration of position on pending legislation, and we'll take the annual training after we've considered positions on pending legislation. So the first item on the pending legislation is House Bill 23, Privileged Tax Amendments. And this bill is one that I'm going to have presentation by Commissioner Rockwell.
This bill falls under a priority B, which means that the motion would be for the Tax Commission to support this bill. The bill modifies the privilege tax statute to reflect the exclusive use means use as against everyone but the owner and an agent of the owner, which would essentially bring the law back to where it stood prior to the ATK case. The legislation has retrospective operation to January 1 of 2015.
Thank you. Questions on the bill or on the explanation given by Commissioner Rock?
I have a question, please.
Please, Commissioner Cragen.
So we say that the bill would bring us back to pre-ATK. Because of the facts in the ATK decision, it's not going to change the outcome of that case, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Commissioner Rockwell?
I believe that is correct. In addition to that...
Okay. I'll chime in here as well. That's my understanding as well. As I read the proposed language, it would not change the result in the ATK case itself.
Right.
But would, in fact, reinstate the understanding of what the legislature had when they passed the bill initially in regards to generally the exclusive use provision of the privilege tax.
Okay. Thank you.
However, I believe that the ATK case is still on remand, isn't it?
I don't know the answer to that.
And it, in the event that the ATK case is still on remand, then that determination would ultimately be up to the court.
Okay. That would be correct.
Okay.
Do I have a motion from Commissioner Rockwell?
Yes, I move to designate House Bill 23, Privilege Tax Amendments, as a priority B bill that the Commission supports.
Thank you very much. To the motion. I see no debate on the motion. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Well, it passes unanimously. We've taken a position of support for House Bill 23. Next one is House Bill 24, Aeronautics Restricted Account Amendments. And I recognize Commissioner Rockwell again for an explanation on this bill.
Thank you. This bill, which is titled Aeronautics Restricted Account Amendments, would be a priority A bill, which is a Tax Commission bill, meaning that the Tax Commission sought the drafting of this legislation. This was done through the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee. At the beginning of the Interim Committee process, the Tax Commission brought this issue forward as one for the Revenue and Taxation Committee to consider. The bill amends the expenditure of revenues deposited into the Aeronautics Restricted Account to no longer allow aviation fuel tax revenues to be used in the support of aerial search and rescue operations. The legislation is necessary to bring the state into compliance with federal regulations on the use of aviation fuel tax revenues.
Thank you. Questions on the explanation or on this bill? I see none. I'll make one quick comment. I have a potential conflict of interest on this bill by virtue of my activities in search and rescue operations. However, I do not seek to recuse myself on this one unless another commissioner believes I should do so. In light of the fact that we have not been using these restricted account for aerial search and rescue, in fact, we have been in compliance with the actual expenditures over the years. What we've not, however, is in the statute, has the ability to use them for those purposes, and that ability is what's giving problems under the FAA's most recent regulations. So if I have a commissioner who believes that I should recuse myself, okay, seeing none, I'll recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion on the bill.
I move to designate House Bill 24, Aeronautics Restricted Account Amendments, as a priority A tax commission bill.
Thank you. To the motion, debate?
No debate, just an observation that the bill is already, another bill, never mind.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'll then place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, that passes unanimously. That bill will also be approved as a commission bill, this one as a designated A bill. Next bill is House Bill 170, Medical Care Savings Account Tax Credit. Again, recognize Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. This would be, if a motion passes, a priority B tax commission support bill. This bill simply repeals the Medical Care Savings Account Tax Credit effective January 1, 2017.
Thank you very much. To this bill, questions on this bill or on this explanation? I just might make mention quickly that this area has been a problem area for a while with non-compliance, and so we had some difficulties trying to make certain that the few individuals who do use this bill use this statute do so correctly. It's just causing actually the difficulties for the taxpayers. So I am very much in support of repealing this particular bill, this particular statute. Anything else on this particular bill? Let's go, Commissioner Rockwell, then, for a motion.
With that, I move to designate House Bill 170, Medical Care Savings Account Tax Credit, as a priority B tax commission support bill.
Thank you. To the motion. Do I have debate on the motion? Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Well, that motion passes unanimously as well. House Bill 170 will also receive support of the commission. Final bill for consideration for support is Senate Bill 31, Tax Commission Levy Process. And again, I'll recognize Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. If a motion is approved, this would be a priority A tax commission bill. It is one that the Tax Commission again approached the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee on during the early 2015 interim. The bill enacts the Depository Institution Data Match System and Levy Act. It provides procedures and requirements for the Depository Institution Data Match System and levy process, and it would include requiring the State Tax Commission to develop and operate the database in coordination with depository institutions. It also requires the Tax Commission to enter into agreements with depository institutions and requires depository institutions to provide the Tax Commission with certain information. It establishes a levy process for collecting a liability from a delinquent taxpayer using the depository institution data match system. It also addresses the duties of a depository institution and the State Tax Commission in relation to the data match system and levy process. It addresses a reimbursement the Tax Commission pays to a depository institution and addresses an amount levied or released in error. It also addresses the confidentiality and disclosure of information and the limits on a depository institution's liability. Finally, it grants rulemaking authority to the State Tax Commission and has an effective date of January 1, 2017.
Thank you, Commissioner Rockwell. Questions on this bill or on the explanation? I just might make one quick mention. This bill has actually passed the Senate already, and it's on its way to the House. During the interim committee when this was presented, the majority of the questions were being asked by House members, so we anticipate that we still have a significant amount of work to do in educating legislators as to the need for this bill, but I fully support it as well. Seeing nothing further, let's go to Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
Thank you. I move to designate Senate Bill 31, Tax Commission Levy Process, as a Priority A Tax Commission bill.
Thank you. To the motion, debate? Seeing none. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule that motion passes unanimously as well. Next item on our agenda is our annual Utah Opens and Public Meetings Act training, our OPMA training. So I'll turn the time now to Commissioner Cragen for the presentation.
All right, thank you. As you say, this is an exercise we go through at this time every year, and that's because the law requires Chairman Valentine to make sure that we do it. So here we go. So the legislature has made a declaration that the people's business should be done in the open so that the people are aware of what's going on and that public bodies make their decisions in the public. And they've designated that all meetings are open to the public unless they're closed for some reason. I want to focus on that word meeting and look at the definition that's provided in statute. It has three components that we have to be worried about. Krista, what am I doing wrong here? Do I have to point at something? Just making sure that I'm following. Okay, so we're going to look at the term public body in the meeting definition. That's the designated in statute, six different elements, but the most important one is this one. A public body has to consist of two or more persons. And so if we're talking about actions by the executive director that he can make unilaterally, this law doesn't apply to him. Okay, we have a public body, and we have to have a quorum present. The law specifies that a simple majority is a quorum unless some other statute provides otherwise. The statute for the Tax Commission says that three members make a quorum. All right, and then in order for us to be having a meeting, it has to be convened. And convening is defined as the calling of a meeting by someone authorized to do so. The word that I want to emphasize here is discussing. Lots of times public bodies think that they only have to have a public meeting if they're going to take action, but in reality, if they're going to discuss something over which they have jurisdiction, they're supposed to have a public body, a public meeting, rather. However, the law specifically recognizes that we live in the 21st century and says that it's okay for members of a public body to share information through electronic communication. You just have to make sure that no voting is done outside of a public meeting. So, here's what we have to do to have an open meeting. Have to adopt an annual notice of a regular meeting. Regular meeting schedule, if you look at our minutes that we approved from our December 10th meeting, we adopted that schedule there. Krista helps us make sure that we get our notice and agenda out on time and into the right places. Our agenda specifies what we're going to talk about, and we flag those that we're going to vote on with the phrase action item so that people know what we're going to be taking action on. Now, that agenda does not prohibit us from talking about other things. We just can't take action on them during that meeting. It has to happen at a future meeting after that action has been noted on the agenda. We have to record the meeting, which we are doing, and it has to be, the recording has to be made available within 3 days so that the public can listen to it if they want to. Here are the requirements for the minutes of the meeting. This presentation, Krista has an electronic copy of so that she can include it in the minutes. She makes a copy of our pending minutes available within 30 days, but they're clearly noted that people know that they have not been adopted and may be subject to change. We do have to approve our minutes in an open meeting, and once they are approved, they become the official record of the meeting, and they are also posted to the public notice website. It is possible for us to have electronic meetings because we have adopted an administrative rule that establishes our policy for conducting electronic meetings, and we've done that. I believe the chairman participated from some meetings that he was attending away from Utah. Important thing about closed meetings for public bodies is to remember is that with the exceptions of some legislative committees, no public body is required to have a closed meeting. It's permissive. If a body decides to have a closed meeting, it has to be for one of these particular reasons here. Most of the times, the ones that we deal with are dealing with character, professional competence, physical or mental health of an individual. Sometimes we deal with deployment of security personnel, devices, or systems, and occasionally allegations of criminal misconduct. Probably the one that we do the most often is pending or reasonably imminent litigation, when our counsel comes to talk with us about issues pending in the courts that involve us. Now, there are some limitations that things that cannot be discussed in a public meeting. Generally, those apply to a body that is made up of elected officials and when they are making an appointment to fill a vacancy. So if you're going to have a closed meeting, you have to start in an open meeting with a quorum present. You have to announce the reason and the location of the meeting, and two-thirds of those present have to approve going into the meeting. And I think we already said reasons and location. So during the closed meeting, the body can discuss something, but they cannot take any actions. They have the option of taking minutes if they want to, but they must record the meeting except for when discussing character, fitness, competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, or the deployment of security personnel, devices, or systems. So after that closed meeting is over, the body has to return to an open meeting to take any action. And if they've discussed any of the topics that do not require recording, then the chair signs a sworn statement in the public meeting stating that they only discussed the things that they were permitted to discuss. There are, by statute, some situations where a quorum of a public body might be in the same place at the same time that are not specified as meetings. And those are listed here. Social gatherings. Interestingly, the chairman, when he was in the Senate, adopted the bill that said that confidential tax matters are not defined as a meeting, and Commissioner Rockwell wrote the law that was adopted by the legislature setting that up. Finally, there are enforcement provisions. Even though it's a public meeting, that doesn't mean that the public can be unruly. They can be removed. The public can sue to void the final action of a public body that's not taken in compliance with the law. And the court can review closed meeting minutes or recordings to determine if anything was anything improper was done, and there are criminal sanctions if anything improper is done during a closed meeting. That's the end of the training. Congratulations, you survived another year.
Thank you. Any questions of Commissioner Cragen regarding the Open and Public Meetings Act? I just wish to express my gratitude to him, not only for the presentation of this training, but also for keeping us kind of in the proper place when it comes to Open Public Meeting Act. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda will be the Executive Director's Report, and we'll turn the time now to our Executive Director, Barry Conover.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We don't have a lot to share with you today in this public meeting. However, as you all know, I'm very much aware that last year's bill, SB 250, is in operation. Went live the first of the year with our new rollout. What we'll be doing this weekend, because of the amount of publicity we put out over the course of the year, we anticipate that there'll be a large number of companies and accountants that will probably want to file the returns due the 31st, which is Sunday, which overlays into Monday because of it falling on a Sunday. There's about a little less than 50% that have already complied. So we anticipate a big weekend this weekend. And Deputy Director Scott Smith has put together a schedule of people coming into this building over the weekend. We will have people here from 8 to 5. All day Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we'll take that probably until midnight on Monday. We've made certain that the building is got the heat on. They usually shut it off during the weekend, but we'll have it on. We're also going to ask our PIO, Charlie Roberts, to do a press release today to notify the business people and the folks out there that will be available for them over the weekend. We felt that because of the importance of the bill, helping us with fraud and security and identity theft, that just over the weekend, we just couldn't treat this weekend as a regular weekend. And so we've rallied the staff and within the agency to have a very strong presence here over the weekend and Monday until midnight. We're getting some really good compliance, and we're grateful for that. And I believe that our appearance before the Finance Committee back in Washington that the chairman did, and the letter from Senator Hatch to the federal entities, they've been responding, and it's been good. And I think we've got a good thing going. Any questions on SB 250 and the implementation rollout?
Any questions from commissioners?
The other thing that I just want to mention is that DFCM, the folks that operate the building here for us, is in the process of painting doors and replacing hardware. And they look nice. This door back here looks really nice. I think the whole building will have a good facelift when we get that operational process done and completed. So I want to thank DFCM. I also want to thank Charlie for his diligence and his contacts with the press, and for the rapport that he has with the press that allows this agency to function better and to communicate with the citizens. And I just wanted to make that note, a matter of record, to thank Charlie for his good work, and Krista as well, as she backs Charlie up. It's very important that we have that type of rapport and connection. With that being said, Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything else to get.
Thank you very much. Any questions of our Executive Director? Seeing none, let's go on now to Commission reports. I'll start with Commissioner Cragen.
I have none. Thank you.
Commissioner Perro.
I don't have it.
Commissioner Rockwell.
I have nothing.
And I have nothing either. We'll take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Well, that passes unanimously. We are adjourned.